Stay tuned after the show for a message from Chevron.
This is Politico Energy, and I'm Anthony Adragna. More than a decade ago, the federal government tried and failed to set up a price on domestic carbon emissions. During that time, governments in other countries have successfully established their own cost of carbon as a tool to lower emissions, and from their success, they're now urging other governments to do the same.
We call on others to follow what here in New Zealand we have done by doing the following four things. One, price carbon.
And it turns out American companies have been also putting a price mark on their carbon production.
For several years now, companies have been putting their own price on carbon and using that figure internally to make big decisions. Like, should we build the next data center? You know, what's it going to cost us in carbon emissions if we do? You know, it's part of their cost-benefit analysis. And a lot of companies do this. You know, more than 1,000 companies have adopted these prices and are using them now.
Today, Politico's Lorraine Wellert on the private sector's gradual internal embrace of a carbon price. It's Tuesday, April 27th.
We've got tech companies. We even have like some of the big polluting companies, like utilities are doing this. Oil companies are doing this. Our data is from a group that companies voluntarily disclose to. So the numbers aren't complete, but they give us a good snapshot. But it's financial services companies, industrials, agriculture.
Is there any sort of uniformity in the price points that they're setting for this?
Not at all. So there are carbon markets, and some of these companies operate in more than one carbon market. Some don't operate in any carbon market. And so the numbers are really sort of depend on where they are. And also, though, maybe more importantly, where they think the market's going to go. So if they don't think that there's going to be like a global carbon price, or if they don't think that the EU is going to pull back allowances, or they don't think that the US is going to adopt a carbon price, then they discount what they think carbon's going to cost them in the future.
Are these prices at all related to us, the consumer? Do we know that we're paying, contributing to the, offsetting the cost of this?
I don't think the consumer feels this, but the goal is down the road. You know, number one, if the companies set a price that leads them to determine that we don't want to build this polluting factory, for example, the public might feel it that way. So, are you and I paying more for like our Adidas shoes? No, probably not.
We've covered on the podcast before kind of the uphill battle at the federal level for doing carbon pricing still. But I wonder if you think that the fact that so much of corporate America has lined up behind at least internal carbon pricing, does that offer any additional nudge to policymakers to maybe consider this in earnest?
You would think it would, right? Because companies are admitting that carbon's going to cost them something, right? And so why not standardize this price? So, we're all making the same assumptions going forward. You know, one of the big examples we had was Duke Energy, a big utility. Right now, they've set a price on carbon of $5 a metric ton. That's kind of low, right? Like the, carbon, I think, was trading for like 40 some dollars a metric ton in Europe. But what Duke has done is they're making the assumption that carbon is going to get more and more expensive to emit.
It's been interesting to see how disconnected the response on Capitol Hill has been from the business community, which has traditionally been a very big backer of Republican causes, overall. I mean, Kevin McCarthy hosted this 3-day climate summit this week, the leader of the House Republicans. They had multiple sessions bashing a carbon price. And so the disconnect between big corporate America and elected Republicans, I would argue there's been no sign of movement there whatsoever. And I think that's really striking.
What this practice is doing is really putting Republicans in Congress on the spot. The biggest, most vocal people against carbon pricing, are the free market, quote unquote, free market conservatives. And what's happening now is corporate America, again, generally speaking, has started to get ahead of policymakers.
Also, on Monday, Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm repeated that the administration could reach the goal of cutting carbon emissions by half, even without congressional action.
Well, I think he's counting on the assistance from Congress, but it, you can achieve it. It's just a lot harder.
Speaking with Politico Playbook yesterday, Secretary Granholm said that federal departments have the power to carry out these ambitious changes, but reiterated that the Biden administration would prefer congressional help through the multi-trillion-dollar infrastructure package.
Mm-hmm. The whole goal here of the American Jobs Plan, as you know, is to really, you know, point us as a nation to the future and to be able to give people the vision of seeing themselves in jobs in this clean energy sector.
The secretary's comments echoed the administration's special climate envoy, John Kerry, who said changes in global markets are already driving a transition to clean energy systems. And one last thing, will you have to give up on red meat under the White House's climate plan? The Department of Agriculture says, of course not. Over the weekend, conservatives, including Texas Governor Greg Abbott, falsely claimed that the administration's climate pledge included a proposal to cut red meat consumption by 90%. The claim is based in a study from last year that suggested that dietary changes could lead to a drop in greenhouse gas emissions. But given the study came a year before the White House plan, it obviously wasn't looking at this particular proposal. Still, on Monday, Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack clarified that there is no effort to limit people's consumption of beef. Instead, Secretary Vilsack said the administration is looking at reducing emissions from livestock production through innovations like feed additives or methane capture. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. If you want to support our show, the best way to do it is by leaving us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. I'm Anthony Dragna. Talk to you again tomorrow.
Chevron is lowering the carbon emissions intensity of their operations, exploring renewable fuels of the future, and investing in low-carbon technologies. Because it's only human to protect the home we share. Learn more at chevron.com/lowercarbon.